Thank you, Lord. Amen. It's certainly a joy and delight to be in the Western District. Again, Sister Goda and I are very happy to be here and enjoying our stay here immensely. Thanks to Brother Price, Brother Cantrell, and the District Board. We appreciate the opportunity to be here again this year, worship God again tonight. Brother Grant's Bible studies, all the preaching and teaching has been a tremendous blessing, and we're enjoying ourselves just a whole lot. Get to be with all of you great saints of God, the preachers of the gospel in this district is a real delight, and we've enjoyed everything that we've heard. All the beautiful singing tonight, that youth group, they sang so well. That was great, Brother Wilson. God bless you. That group was excellent. I enjoy good Pentecostal music that's anointed by the Spirit of God, the singing. What a blessing that's been. So it's just a delight to be here. Please turn to Hosea chapter 9 and verse number 7. In the Old Testament, the book of Hosea chapter 9 and verse number 7. The Bible says, the days of visitation are come. The days of recompense are come. Israel shall know it. The prophet is a fool. The spiritual man is mad for the multitude of thine iniquity and the great hatred. Then I'd like you to notice, if you would, a scripture in the book of Habakkuk, chapter number 1, verse number 5. The book of Habakkuk, or Habakkuk, ever how you want to say it, but chapter 1, verse number 5. Behold ye among the heathen, and regard and wonder marvelously. For I will work a work in your days, which you will not believe, though it be told you. Praise God. Praise God. Brother McDonald, why don't you come and pray about this message tonight? God bless you. Would you pray for me?
Heavenly Father, thy word is anointed, and we need that same anointing upon your servant. We thank you for each and every person that you have brought to this house by divine providence tonight. You know our needs, O God, and you're going to supply them tonight because we have asked, dear God. You love us. We are the sheep of your pasture, God. Let the Holy Ghost fall upon this congregation as the Holy Ghost moves through the man of God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
God bless you, and you may be seated. Praise God. Tonight, I'd like to speak to you for the next little while, and my subject is spiritual madmen. Spiritual madmen. And when I say mad and use the word mad, I am not talking about being angry or disturbed. I'm talking about the meaning of the word mad. That means frantic. Secondly, it means blindly devoted. And thirdly, this word means infatuated. And so, madmen, as we view our world tonight and in days gone by, are those that have changed our world. They have had a powerful influence and a powerful impact in changing our world. Most folks in our society are satisfied with mediocrity. And to be mediocre is simply, as someone said, the top of the bottom and the bottom of the top. It is the worst of the best and the best of the worst. And so to be mediocre is not anything very special. But most of us are satisfied with mediocrity. With most of us, it is business as usual. The same old thing. Status quo. They asked an old farmer one time what the word status quo meant. He said, I'm not real sure, but he said, I think that in Latin that means we're in a mess. And he really didn't know, but it probably does tonight. Status quo probably does mean we're in a mess. But there are folks that rise up every once in a while that dare to be different. There are folks that rise up by times that are willing to break out of the routine, that are willing to break out of the normal. Now, I believe that we have a tremendous challenge that is before us in the Church of Jesus Christ tonight. A tremendous challenge. There has never been a challenge like the day that we're facing. But we know that greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. We also understand that we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. We also know that if God be for us, then who can be against us? We're assured in the Scripture that there is neither height, nor depth, nor principality, nor power, nor things present, nor things to come, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus the Lord. Our world is a suffering world. It's a hurting world. Our world is filled with chaos, confusion, and fear. Sin is on every hand abounding. And yet, the Bible does say that where sin doth abound, grace doth the much more abound. I believe tonight that God has given this present day church the spiritual power and the spiritual equipment to be more than a match for what we are facing. Amen. I do not believe for a moment that God has brought the church to this hour just to simply plunge to the depths of despair and frustration. I do not believe it's God's will for the church in this hour to dwell in a state of frustration and anguish, not knowing which way to turn or which way to go. I believe that God has given the church the necessary power, the necessary spiritual equipment, thank God, to be more than a match for this hour. And if you're filled with the Holy Ghost tonight, if you're a child of God tonight, then you have a wonderful hope that reaches far beyond this life. This world is not our home. We're just passing through. We're pilgrims and strangers here. But we're seeking a city whose builder and maker is God. Hallelujah. I want to make heaven, don't you? Amen. Someone said that it was madness to remove the propellers from the airplanes. But then the jet is better. And so it wasn't madness after all. Someone said that it was madness to look for penicillin in mold. But millions of lives have been benefited by the discovery of penicillin. I heard a story some time ago where back in World War II, there was a German general by the name of General Rundstedt. And the Nazi army, the story went that they were breaking through our armies, and our armies were completely surrounded at Bastogne, and there were no supplies. We had absolutely no supplies. We had no air cover. We were in a pathetic situation. And the German general sent our general, who was General McAuliffe, who worked under Dwight Eisenhower at that time. The German general sent General McAuliffe a message, just a brief message on a piece of paper, and asked for the surrender of the Allied forces. Are you willing to surrender? Are you ready to surrender? You are totally surrounded. They had no food. They had no supplies. They had no air cover. And they were apparently, at this point, a very disorganized and defeated army. But General McAuliffe, in this state of apparent defeat, took the note that he had been handed from the German general, General Rundstedt, turned it over, and some of you that are a little older will remember some of the things that were said on this note. But when General McAuliffe turned the other side, he just simply wrote one word. One word. He said, nuts. Nuts. You think we're going to surrender? And there he was in a very vulnerable position. No food, no supplies, no air cover, and outnumbered and apparently hedged in and defeated. And yet this man had such a spirit of not giving up. He had such a spirit that desired victory that he simply said, nuts. If you think we're going to give up, nuts. And you're here tonight to know the rest of the story, that the Germans did not win the war. The Allied forces did prevail, and we're here as a result of that. Thank God for it. Now, there are those tonight who are predicting defeat for the church. There are those who say that the church is on its way down. There are those who say the church is facing apparent defeat tonight. There are those that say we're so badly outnumbered that we cannot survive the onslaught of sin and hell that is all about us. But thank God tonight, our reply is nuts. We not only can survive, we will. Amen. We not only can win, we will win. Praise God. This is not a defeated church. The Lord Jesus Christ is not coming back for a defeated church. The Lord's not coming back for a down and out church. The Lord's not coming back for a backslidden church. I'm telling you that our God is not even coming back for a cold church or a lukewarm church. Thank God He's coming back for a glorious church. I said He's coming to receive unto Himself a glorious church. Without a spot, without a wrinkle, without a blemish, or any such thing. Thank God tonight for the privilege to be a part of the glorious church of Jesus Christ that shall prevail, that shall be triumphant. Glory to God. Lift up our hands to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I read tonight where God said, I am going to do a work. He said, I will work a work in your days, which you will not believe, though it were told you. I believe there can be a spiritual application to the church of that particular verse tonight. I believe that God is willing and ready to work a work in our midst. And there are the skeptics, and there are the doubters, and there are the unbelievers that say it's not going to happen. Praise God, but there are those among us tonight that are not willing to accept a spiritual mediocrity, but we are reaching for the high peaks of spiritual power that has been foreordained for the church in this present hour. Amen. In the book of Acts chapter 26, I was reading today verse number 24. And it was speaking of course, the Apostle Paul. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. You're beside yourself. I believe tonight we need some apostolics that'll get beside themselves. It's not the same old thing. This is 1993. This is not the 40s or the 50s or the 60s or even the 70s. We are approaching the very coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. What we're going to do for God, I believe we've got to do it quickly. I believe we've got to do it now. We must work while it's day, because the night is coming when no man can work. All of those great things that we want to do for God, it's time to do it now. The great dreams that we've had concerning the kingdom of God, we've got to see them fulfilled now. The great visions of God's power and of mighty revival sweeping over cities.
where sinners are slain by the awesome power of God and lives are transformed by the work of the Holy Spirit. I tell you that this is the day for those dreams to be realized in our midst. Hallelujah! Praise God, praise God, praise God. And so Paul says, Festus, I'm not mad. First of all, Festus said, much learning doth make thee mad. He was accused of being a madman. But I'm telling you, that mediocrity is not going to get the job done. Paul was so intent in what he was doing. He was so enthused about the work of God. He was so excited about the gospel he was preaching. He was so happy to represent Jesus Christ as an ambassador of the Lord that he responds that I am not mad, most noble Festus. Praise God. But I am speaking forth the words of truth and soberness, for the king knoweth of these things before whom I freely speak. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. It's time for the Pentecostals to come out of the corners, out of hiding, out of lethargy, out of mediocrity. It's time for us to shine as the stars of God in this hour. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Somebody shout hallelujah! Festus said, you are mad. You are a madman. But Paul was simply declaring the gospel of Jesus Christ. He was simply declaring the enthusiasm and the excitement and the great blessing that he had received since his life had been changed on the Damascus Road. I believe that my God is looking for a witness tonight. My God's looking for preachers tonight that will preach without fear, without favor, and yet with a heart that is anointed by the love of God. We must speak the truth in love. I said my God's looking for preachers that will preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And say with Paul, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Oh, hallelujah. Paul says, I am debtor. I am a debtor. Wouldn't it be something tonight if every man in this auditorium would begin to feel a personal indebtedness to reach our generation with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Wouldn't it be something tonight if every lady in this congregation would suddenly begin to be impacted with a personal feeling of indebtedness to reach our generation with the gospel? I'm going to tell you, friend, we've got the greatest message in the whole wide world. The only problem is the world don't know it yet. We're going to have some spiritual madmen, if you please, that'll get excited about our message and take it to a world that's dying without Jesus Christ. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. This thing was not done in a corner. This is not to be hid in a corner somewhere. Amen. The gospel has got to get out. It's got to get on Main Street. We've got to impact our generation. I've got a question for you tonight. If we don't reach this generation, who will? We who believe that Jesus' name, apostolic message, if we don't reach our generation, then who will? If we don't do it now, then when? So I come to this pulpit tonight, submitting to this beautiful audience, that we do have the wonderful message of salvation that will transform the lives of men and women. And somehow it's got to get so a hold of us that we'll recognize a divine urgency to get our message to this world. And we've got to do it now. We've got to do it now. California's waiting for your message. North Carolina is waiting for our message. Texas is waiting. Arizona's waiting. There's got to be a divine urgency that grips the church in this hour that says we've got to do it, and we've got to do it now. Amen. Amen. Somebody shout hallelujah. Praise God. Somebody wrote the words that I will read to you. Disturb us, O Lord, when we are too well pleased with ourselves. When we dream dreams that have come true because we have dreamed too little. When we have arrived in safety because we sailed too close to the shore. Disturb us, O Lord, when with the abundance of things which we possess, we have lost our thirst for the water of life. When having fallen in love with time, we have ceased to dream of eternity. And in our efforts to build the new earth, we have allowed our vision of the new heaven to grow dim. Stir us, O Lord, to dream and to dare more boldly and to venture into wide seas where the storms shall show thy mastery. Where losing sight of land, we shall find the stars. In the name of Him who hath pushed back the horizons of our hopes and invited the brave to follow Him, stir us, O Lord. My cry tonight from this pulpit is the only thing that's going to save America is an old-fashioned revival. Hallelujah! The only thing that's going to bring California to its knees is an old-fashioned revival. The only thing that's going to help our churches and shake us from the doldrums of lethargic Pentecostalism is an old-fashioned Holy Ghost revival. I come here tonight with a burdened heart and a heavy heart to tell the Pentecostals in this camp meeting, we need a Jesus name revival that will shake our churches and shake our cities and shake our world. And we've got the power. We've just got to go with it. We need some spiritual madmen that'll take this gospel. Hallelujah. Somebody shout amen. Hallelujah. It was said of Jesus back in the book of John, chapter number 10. If I mistake not, I believe it's John chapter 10 and verse 13. Jesus said, the hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. But he said, I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth those which are in the fold, or as the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, they also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold, and there shall be one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me. I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Then I want you to notice what happened in verse number 19. There was a division, therefore, among the Jews because of these sayings. And in verse 20, some of them said, he hath a devil. Some of them said, he is mad. Some of them said, why hear ye him? Even Jesus Christ was accused of being a madman. The world never has understood God's people. I'm telling you that in any generation and in any dispensation, the world has never understood God's people. God's people have always stood out distinctively and uniquely different and set apart from this world. The world has never understood our burden. They never understood our purpose. They've never understood our call. They've never understood what we're representing. They've never understood this beautiful gospel that we're preaching tonight. But oh, friend, it's incumbent upon us tonight to take this wonderful salvation and spread it far and wide until every community shall hear, until every soul shall hear. Praise God, praise God. There are young people in this camp meeting tonight that if you get excited about what God has given you, you can become a soul winner and help turn your church upside down. That daddies and mamas here tonight, that if you get excited about what you've received in your heart, you can go back to your church and turn it upside down. This is no time for business as usual and mediocrity. We need some spiritual madmen that will get committed to the gospel and the reaching of the lost with this great message. Let's worship God tonight. Hallelujah. 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 Praise our God. 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 Amen. Only madness would touch a leper. I said only madness would touch a leper. The people who have accomplished something for God have been the people in any generation or dispensation who were willing to step out of the routine, out of the usual, out of the normal, out of the status quo, out of the same old thing, out of business as usual, and say, I'm going to dare to be different from my God. Hallelujah. They're the people that make a powerful and spiritual impact upon our generation. I said only madness would touch a leper. Only insanity would try to walk on water. Amen. That's the way the world looks at it. Only insanity would try to walk on water. They said of Jesus on one occasion that he was, in Mark 3, that he was beside himself. He was beside himself. You know what we need to do tonight? And some of you were living in days gone by when the old-fashioned power of God fell and revival meetings sprung up everywhere. They didn't even have a piano. They didn't have an organ. They didn't have a lot of the nice things we have. Certainly didn't have nice buildings and padded pews. But I tell you one thing they had, and that was the old-fashioned demonstration of the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. If we're not careful in this hour, we've got better education than we've ever had. We've got more beautiful buildings and structures than we've ever had. We've got padded pews. We've got stained glass windows. We've got everything at our disposal. But oh God, give us a return tonight to the old-fashioned power and the demonstration of the Holy Ghost. When a sinner walks in our doors, there'll be a spirit of conviction that'll reach out and get a hold of their hearts, and they'll feel something they never felt before in all of their lives. Oh, God, do it again tonight. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. I was preaching just here a while back in the state of Virginia, in a good church, and the pastor told me the first night I was there, I saw a young man shouting and praising God. And on the front pew, he was worshiping the Lord. He was obviously very excited about the Holy Ghost. And I commented to the pastor, that young man really worships God. He said, Brother Godare, after church, I want to tell you a story about that young man. And after church, he told me, when we went to eat and fellowship a little while, he said, that young man had never been in a Pentecostal church in his life until about a year ago, maybe 13, 14 months ago. Came in, he's 18 now. He's a senior in high school. He came into the church, was baptized in Jesus' name, and filled with the Holy Ghost. He began to get on fire for God. He really took it serious when we began to talk about soul winning and reaching the lost. And he said, that young man began to invite the boys and girls, the teenagers, the young people at school. He began to talk to them about the Lord. He began to encourage them to come to church. And he said, as a result of that, one came, and then another, and then another, and then another. And he said, I want to tell you that in the past year, out of his high school, there have been 91 young people that have come to this church that have been baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost as a result of his witness. Hallelujah. And I thought when he told me that, Brother Price, what it would be if the young people of our church, maybe that have been here for a long time, you've been raised on a church base, you've been taught the truth all of your life. My God, tonight, what if this great truth would get a hold of you and impact you and challenge you tonight to say, I'm going to reach the young people in my school. What kind of a revival could you have in Sacramento? What kind of a revival could you have in Stockton? What kind of revival could you have from the north to the south of this great state? Oh, God, help us to have some spiritual madmen that get excited about what we've got. That get excited about what we've got. It's not business as usual. It's not status quo. We need some spiritual madmen that are excited about what we've got. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Oh, praise God. Lord, help me to get excited about it. I don't want this church to become old hat to me. I don't want this experience just to become old hat and old business. Dedication for Jesus and going through the same old motion service after service. You know what I'm praying tonight? And I prayed today, oh God, let the fresh oil, let the fresh anointing of the power of God fall upon this camp meeting. That it won't be just another meeting or just another gathering, but the old time power of God will sweep over this place and change our lives and make us spiritual madmen that are on fire for God. Let's worship the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray right now, church. Let's pray, Lord, do it in my own life. Let me feel a divine urgency, a compelling presence of God. I've got to do a work for God, and I've got to do it quickly. Oh, God, give us a fresh anointing. Oh, God, give us a fresh anointing. Oh, God, give us a fresh anointing. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I'm just wondering tonight what it would be like if every one of us went back to our weekend services and we let the old-fashioned power of God begin to saturate our spirits. I'm going to tell you, we'd have some brand-new preachers, some brand-new saints, some brand-new churches where the power and the demonstration of the Holy Ghost was present. Oh, God, we've got to have it tonight. Amen. 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 I'm not just here to preach to you tonight. I'm asking you to seek after God. I'm asking you to seek for the old-time power. Hallelujah. The old-time power of God that is so desperately needed in our hour. Thank you, Jesus. 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 God. Oh. What if this old camp meeting would turn into a prayer meeting? What if every pew or a row of seats out here would become an altar? What if God's mighty power was to saturate our souls? What if the glory of God would fill this place and the Shekinah glory of His presence would come in waves of glory? What if every saint of God would say, "Oh God, I'm hungry for Your power. I've got to have a revival. I've got to have revival." I wish everybody just reach over and pray for someone right now. Let's pray that God's mighty power, that God's mighty anointing would fill this place. We need some spiritual madmen that are not intimidated by the devil, that are not intimidated by the world, that are not intimidated by our friends, that will not be intimidated by peer pressure. Praise God, praise God. We need some folks that are not afraid to step out and launch out into the deep of God's purpose and God's will for the present day apostolic church. Glory! Glory! Something's happening in somebody tonight. Something's moving. Something's taking place. It's like fire that's shut up in our bones. God's wanting to work among us. God is wanting to take away everything that shouldn't be in our hearts and fill us with the mighty baptism of His power. To go back to the brush arbor, folks. We've got it tonight. We don't have to go back to the storefront. We've got it tonight. We don't have to go back to the 30s. We've still got it tonight. We don't have to look backward. Praise God. We've got everything that we need to make it as a powerful apostolic church. God has given us the spiritual ingredients to be the church He designed us to be. Let's all stand to our feet. I'm not half through with what I was going to say, but if I have any sensitivity to the Holy Spirit right now, I feel like we need to pray. I feel like we need to seek God. I feel like this camp meeting needs to turn into a revival meeting. I feel like this whole camp meeting needs to turn into a revival meeting. Thank God for healing Sister Daglin last night. God can do it for somebody else tonight. God can fill you with the Holy Ghost. God can give you a fresh touch of desire and a fresh taste of divine glory and divine revelation. I'm asking you to do what you feel right now. I'm asking everybody here to do what you feel right now. I'm asking you to do what you feel right now. The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Come on, church. Whatever we want from God, we've got to go after it. We've got to go after it. I'm challenging the church in California. Whatever you want from God, you've got to go after it. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. As the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. Let's pray all over this building. Let's pray all over this building. Let's don't leave.
Let's don't begin to visit. Let's let the Holy Spirit move all over. Friend, let's pray for the power. Let's pray for the power. Let's seek God for the power, the old-fashioned power, and the demonstration of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah! Let's seek God for His mighty power. There's some people here that need to talk in tongues again. You need to feel His presence again. You need to be saturated with God's power again. We need to be soaked with His divine presence. Come on, Pentecostals, all over this building, let's pray for God's power. For God's power. The Holy Ghost. This is a good night to get it. You see somebody that needs the Holy Ghost, begin to pray with them. They can receive it right where they are. If you need healing, it's here tonight. If you need a miracle, it's here tonight. You just need a brand new touch of God's power, it's here tonight. If you're cold in your soul, you can walk out of here with the refreshing of the Holy Ghost burning and bubbling in your spirit. It's revival time. It's revival time. where two or three will agree is touching anything, it shall be done. Why don't we get in at least two or three little groups here and begin to pray for God's power? Preachers, let's give our church a brand new preacher Sunday. Saints of God, let's give our church a brand new saint Sunday morning. Young people, let's give our church some brand new young people Sunday morning that's anointed with God's power. I'm asking everybody here to get in groups of two or three. Band together. Bind together. Trust God together. Believe God together. That we are going to have the greatest revival of God's divine glory that we've ever had in all of our lives. Come on, let's let it happen. Pray with someone.
Folks, I feel like doing one more thing tonight, and I wouldn't feel like I was obeying God if I didn't. We've got the name of Jesus. We've got the Holy Ghost. We've got God's power. Many of you have had the Holy Ghost for 30, 40, 50 years, some less, of course. But the biggest problem that we're facing tonight is we've got a lost world. We've got a lost world. Somehow we've got to get the gospel to them. I'd like for you folks that are right here in the middle, if you'd just move over a little bit, I'd just like to close this service, if I could, the way I feel. And I feel like we've got the power of God in this building. There's a fresh anointing of God's Spirit in this building. But the biggest problem is this, that there are millions of people in California that are lost, that don't know the truth, that have never heard the gospel. They've not repented. They have not been baptized in Jesus' name. They don't have the Holy Ghost. I was preaching in Florida here a while back, a few months ago, and there was a lady in the church, a grandma. She was 60 years old, Brother Scott, a grandmother. She had never won a soul, but the pastor preached on soul winning, and she said, I am going to win a soul to God. I don't care what I've got to do, I'm going to win a soul. 60-year-old grandmother. She started teaching home Bible studies. She got one, and then two, and then three, and then four. Last year, in 1992, she averaged 15 home Bible studies a week by herself. 15 home Bible studies, a 60-year-old grandmother. When I preached in that church last September, she had already, the pastor introduced her to me, she had already won 93 people to God that had been baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost from January the 1st. To September, she said, God promised me at the beginning of the year that I would have 100 souls be born again in the kingdom of God. And I saw the pastor in February this year, and I said, did Sister Elliott make that number? He said, with eight to spare.
that one 60-year-old grandmother won 108 souls to God in 1 year by herself. And I thought, oh God, if something got a hold of that grandma to win 108 souls to God, I can win a soul to God. You can win a soul to God. Amen. You can't say I've never done it, thus I can't do it. I'm telling you, it's a different day. God needs some spiritual madmen that'll get a hold of this gospel and go with it, run with it. I'm challenging you tonight. I'm going to challenge you. And I don't know what you can do or how many, but I want to know how many will put forth a supreme effort that the rest of this year, we've only got a few months left. You say, well, I'm afraid to make a commitment. I'm not saying they'll get baptized and get the Holy Ghost. I don't know. But how many in this building, I'm asking, will make the supreme effort? You will pray that God will burden your heart and you'll put forth a supreme effort to win at least one soul to God. If you'll do that, I want you to walk down this aisle as a testimony of your commitment tonight. This is not just shallow. I feel this in the Holy Ghost, that everybody in this building that would say, Brother Goddard, I am going to make a supreme effort to win at least one soul to God. If an 18-year-old boy can win 91 to God, if a 60-year-old grandmother can win 108 to God, there are soul winners in this building here tonight. I'm telling you, you can turn your church upside down with this power of God. Let's pray about it right now. Let's pray and ask God to give us a burden. Let's pray and ask God to give us a burden. Oh God, I've got to do it. I've got to do it. I've got to do it.